From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Friday, February 27th, and I'm your host, Andy Klein, filling in for Boston Christopher. Thank you for joining the conversation. And on today's show, the Conbrio Chamber Series is bringing trumpeter Jeff Carlson of Ketchikan to Juno for a full-length recital Saturday, and he's here today to tell us all about it. The Juno Douglas Ice Association at Treadwell Arena is hosting the state hockey tournament for 17 and 18-year-olds March 6th through the 8th. We're going to talk to coaches and players about that. And there's always a ton of great things going on at Zach Gordon Youth Center. We'll be talking with them about baseball, acting classes, spring break, and the shelter that they run. Those conversations are coming up this hour on a Juno afternoon. And in the weather, scattered snow today and tonight, and a winter storm watch tomorrow is in effect with heavy snow and accumulation up to 7 inches in areas possible.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
Hanson Gress. Ka eat with the shoe ye, we ka shook a ye tin. Jin kat ka ke jin talk anachaya ha anikach. Gunish cheese.
KTO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Occoquan. The Clean AD have stewarded this area for thousands of years, and today our studios sit on a spot that was once part of the tidelands, but is now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it today as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations. Well, that beautiful music was created by our next guest. Jeff Carlson is in the studio with us. Jeff, thanks so much for coming in and talking to us about this upcoming very cool concert series that's happening. And Sally Schlichting is here as well, the artistic director of Conbrio. Thanks to both of you for coming in.
Thank you.
Oh, pleasure.
It's great to have you. Yeah. It's always great to welcome in amazing musicians, isn't it? To town. It's great. It's also great to have like amazing musicians who are from Southeast Alaska.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, that's kind. Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about that journey growing up in Ketchikan to now. So then what? And then what?
Sure.
So, were you a high school band? Stuff like that?
Is
that, right.
I grew up playing music. My mom was quite musical, flute player, in fact. And instilled.
Sally likes that, yes.
It's like, She instilled
a woman of high character.
Indeed. Yeah, someone we can relate to. And I have a twin sister who plays flute. So the two of us together, we had what I call kind of a cooperative, competitive relationship.
Okay,
right?
Yes.
We each wanted to be better than the other. And
that's
so we
good.
Just played together all the time. And so that the musicality, that passion kind of, it was instilled
so
in
well,
us
you're, well, you,
early.
That's interesting. Like you say, so two flautists and you,
yeah.
And you played together, but almost competitively together?
What I mean by that is, yeah, we played like
I'm
duets together,
dueling
which is
banjos,
very cooperative.
You know, and that's what I'm thinking dueling banjos.
Yeah. Oh, you're thinking of a dueling flute and a dueling trumpet. Wow. Yeah.
Well, the thing about playing with, you know, woodwinds and flute players as a brass player, it really taught me to pull back on the volume, right?
Because it was demonstrated, just even my layman ears could hear that in that what we just heard, so beautifully restrained.
Mm-hmm,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
Right.
You kind of have to learn that if you're going to, you know, match the delicate nature of like a flute, right? So, growing up with that was great, and I took a shining to music, so wound up going to college for that. In fact, just before college, I wound up going to the Interlochen Arts Academy that's in Michigan. Got a scholarship from Ketchikan to go do that.
Cool.
And that's great.
From there, followed the scholarships, got a full ride to go to a conservatory in Florida, Lynn University Conservatory. Franz Falco went there.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah, and studied with Mark Reese of the Empire Brass Quintet, and I'm sure folks have probably heard their music over these radio waves.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, went to Manhattan School of Music, studied in New York with Mark Gould, who was the principal trumpet in the Metropolitan Opera and the head of the brass department at Juilliard. So I just had this great opportunity to immerse myself in culture, right?
Did you always lean towards classical? And that, I mean, I'm just going to show my ignorance here, but when I think about trumpet, right, I think Miles Davis and Dizzy
Absolutely.
Gillespie and like
Wynton
all this
Marsalis.
Incredible Wynton Marsalis.
Of course.
And so I'm just, maybe you've experimented in all those areas. You know, a lot of great musicians, of course, do get to play in all these genres. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, sure. Yeah. I mean, you know, Ketchikan's actually always had a great showing for jazz and the McPherson jazz bands that existed for a long time in Ketchikan. I was a part of that. I enjoy playing jazz, but we each have our personalities and our tastes. My passion's kind of just steered toward the classical side of things.
I wonder if that's the flautists.
It might be.
Maybe they got under your skin there a little bit. Well, there's great jazz flute as well.
There sure is.
Right?
Yeah.
But, that's really fascinating that you kind of – it's always interesting to hear the journey of people that are from Alaska that then, as you say, like kind of follow the scholarships, connect these different areas. And then what brought you back to Alaska?
Yeah, well, you know, doing grad school in New York City was phenomenal. I loved it because you're just there in the culture, like being able to see the New York Phil or go to the Blue Note or the Lincoln Jazz at Lincoln Center.
The best of the best.
The best of the best.
Right,
it was amazing.
Right.
But being from a little island in Alaska, I genuinely began to realize how much I miss the connection to nature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that summer after graduating, came back to Ketchikan and kind of realizing, like, I'm not sure I really want to settle in a city. And that's kind of what it takes if you want to actually make a living in classical music. So followed another passion, and that was being on the water. My dad was a fisherman. I love fishing. I love being on the water. So got a captain's license, and kind of sometimes the way life steers itself really wound up finding myself in an opportunity to purchase a tour company in Alaska, in Ketchikan.
Mm-hmm.
Really because jumped on it because of the seasonal nature of it. I thought this might dovetail really well with pursuing two different passions, one on the water and one in music, and it kind of has worked out.
So you actually have a passenger vessel, right? A 60-passenger vessel? Is that
it? I've got two of them.
Okay.
Two 60-foot passenger vessels. We hold about 35 passengers, and we're sightseeing and wildlife viewing and culture and history,
very
all
cool.
The things we're familiar with here in Southeast Alaska.
Do they ever get to hear the trumpet on board? Does that ever happen?
You're not allowed to play the trumpet around the sea lions, are you?
No, right. That's the funny thing is, okay, so as a trumpet player, I also, I don't like to toot my own horn, so to speak. You know, really, I kind of keep those two lives a little separate. The showmanship comes out in its own way and delivering a narration to folks and showing off Alaska.
Performance.
But yeah, there's a performance aspect to
it. Have you ever interacted with wild creatures with your trumpet? Like, have you ever played music to...
Don't incriminate yourself.
You're going to love this story. So, not directly with the trumpet, but one time I was running a tour. This is before I bought my business. So I was doing a small Zodiac tour, and I had come across a patch of bull kelp. And bull kelp, you can cut to make a trumpet out of it, like a bugle, right?
Oh, wow.
And so I would do this on every tour, like find a bull kelp, cut it up, and play taps or play the reveille on it.
Oh, my word. Oh, my God. That's
so
great.
One time I'm doing this, and there are three orca whales, and they're kind of in the distance. And I said, guys, I want to try something really quick. So I put the bell of the bull kelp in the water, and I start to, like, make some really high-pitched little squealy sounds through this thing. And the bull male orca turned right around, came straight to the boats. The female and the calf kept going. Yeah. It's like he said, you keep going. I'm going to check this out.
Whatever, yeah.
And it approached the boat, and that six-foot dorsal just came down. You could see the whale go underneath our 12-foot Zodiac.
I love it.
And this tourist is like, do it again. And I said, no. I don't know what I'm communicating. That could have been a rude
right,
statement.
Right. You said what?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I love it. I wanted to play a little more music, maybe. Tell me about what we played there. Tell me about that. Yeah.
Sure.
That.
What you heard as the intro there was Manuel de Falla, seven popular Spanish songs. That was the first movement of seven. And you were hearing a wonderful trumpet player, Tina Ting Helseth, Scandinavian trumpet player. And she's just known for that wonderful, delicate touch that I was kind of describing earlier. This particular piece, Manuel de Falla is a Spanish composer, has a somewhat flamenco style to it, which I think does lay well on the trumpet. This is part of why I chose it. And it demonstrates, it requires kind of a diction, right? Because it's originally a vocal work, and dictating in the Spanish language requires some kind of a little bit of that kind of percussive sense in the articulation. And that also suits the trumpet quite well. So
I misspoke. That wasn't you.
Correct.
That wasn't you. That was another person doing some
a piece
work that you're going to be doing
be
this
performing.
Weekend. Okay,
that's right.
Doing tomorrow. Yes. Okay, good, great. Good to know that.
Yeah.
Well, that's really fascinating all this different stuff that's been happening. Sally, tell me a little bit about Combrio, what you guys are up to. Let's just pivot a little and talk about what all is happening and in all the programs you guys are doing. And also why you brought Jeff in. What made you know about Jeff's work and bringing him
in? Sure. Well, I'll answer that first. So I've known Jeff through the Juno Symphony. You know, we both have played in the symphony, and he's currently principal trumpet there with the Juno Symphony. And I know that he's a very fine trumpet player. And so I thought it'd be a great opportunity to bring him to Juno to do a recital as part of Combrio. And this is the third program in our four concert season this year. And believe it or not, this is my 10th year of doing this.
Wow.
Which is kind of amazing.
Yeah.
I was looking back, it's like I think this is maybe the 25th program that I've done in those 10 years. And Combrio is really about my love of chamber music and just the incredible universe of music that's out there and all the different possibilities for programs. I mean, I've done women composers and music on climate change and new music. And I mean, I just so much. And
tell me real quickly, just because I want the definition again, chamber music. Define that term for
me. It's just small ensembles.
So it's not there's not a specific number or anything, but it just means smaller ensembles.
Smaller ensembles, typically without a conductor, and usually in a more intimate setting than a concert hall. So that's what we're about.
That's what I imagine when I hear the term. But I just wanted to make sure. Oh no, there was four people in that. That's not chamber. You know.
These rules. I mean, orchestral music, there's a whole separate repertoire of orchestral symphonic music, and chamber music has its own repertoire, just an incredibly expansive set of music.
Right.
So there's so many possibilities, and you can just go wild, and I just love it. And I love the intimate setting for myself as a musician. And like the next program we're doing is for voice and harp, and myself and Todd Hunt will be joining them on a few pieces.
Oh, great!
And
it's true what you're saying about the intimate setting. You know, it's so impressive to hear a symphony, right? Because of the noise, you know, that comes at
the
you,
impact.
The sound,
yes.
The impact.
Yeah.
It's incredible, the timpanis, all that.
Yeah.
But, you know, these instruments, of course, were designed to be self-amplifying, right? So when you hear them in a more intimate setting, it's incredible. But I would think that the trumpet, you probably have to be careful. You were saying this a little earlier, too, but you have to be careful about your volume control because the trumpet has the ability to be so loud.
Yeah, it can knock down walls. Right?
Right,
some stories it was designed to do that. But, you know, most instrumentalists will tell you that they're really The peak of musicality is if you can emulate the human voice. I mean, that's kind of what, like, string instruments, vocal cords, you know, think of that. And so if you have that kind of vocal quality to your playing, it almost doesn't matter how loud you get at that point. It's still going to have this kind of round and pleasing quality, mm-hmm. right? So trumpets have the ability to put some zing in it, you know, and we can sail above the orchestra. At times it calls for that. But then when you're in an intimate setting, we still had to tell the pianist to maybe jump up a dynamic in our rehearsal today because, you know, it is different playing with a trumpet than it is a flute or a vocalist. But at the end of the day, you know, that's kind of what I've aimed for really even since graduating college was being able to demonstrate that the trumpet doesn't have to be loud, right, mm-hmm. to be impressive.
I have to ask you about your incredibly impressive mustache. And
it's growing.
And if that in any way interferes with your trumpet playing.
So no one's going to get this because you can't see me right now. This is a radio.
I'm just telling you. It's mustache. Amazing.
Are we not on YouTube today? Are we on YouTube today or no?
Oh, I don't think we are. Sorry. Okay. I'm just filling in. So
no
YouTuber.
Worries. Yeah.
It does have this very convenient little part right down the middle where I can put the mouthpiece
That's
and it all
it
works just fine.
All right. I figured it must be fine, or else you know it would be a sacrifice you'd have to make. But
indeed,
I endorse keeping that mustache. Is it new? It's a new mustache.
You know, so I had to put it on for dad mode. I had a daughter a year ago, and I grew it out for her birth, and I haven't gotten rid of it yet because it's just I've been really enjoying
me.
Leading.
No, yeah, no,
looks
I,
great.
I think it's excellent. It's good work.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, excellent work. Very good. Well, yeah. So the one thing I was going to ask too a little bit about it is tell me some of when you approach playing in a symphony versus this kind of work you're doing. What are some of the considerations that you make? Obviously, volume and those things are, but
I really appreciate the question. You know, the bulk of my involvement in Juno has been with the symphony, and so you know, our job in the trumpet section of the orchestra is kind of a reinforcement, especially when it comes to you know reaching the climax of a piece. You'll often hear that's when the brass mm-hmm. you know comes in. In you know the late classical to early romantic era, the trumpets really were like an accomplice to the timpanist, right? So very rhythmic and
percussive almost. Yeah.
Percussive,
yeah, right,
because
right.
It trumpets before the 1830s didn't even have valves. It was just basically still bugles, right? Mm-hmm. So we're confined to the harmonic series. So you often hear in you know late Mozart, early Beethoven, you know even think William Tell, bum. Bagadum, bagadum, bum, 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 bum. That sounds like a timpani part. Dum, 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 dum. It really is very kind of percussive, but we have the ability to crescendo on a single articulation, which a percussion instrument can't do. So that's kind of how composers utilized mm-hmm. the trumpets mm-hmm. for a lot of it. Whereas in a soloistic setting, we're talking about music that was written or at least transcribed at a time where we do have valves. So we have the full complement of the chromatic scale, and we can now make melody. And so that's the fun part, really, for me, is getting involved in chamber music, is to not just be that that rhythmic driver, but to be the melodic driver in what we're doing.
If you were to recommend to someone, you know, here's Trumpet 101, here's my five trumpeters or pieces, what sort of comes to mind as far as, like, these are the holy grail things that you need to know about or listen to when you're thinking about trumpet as an instrument?
Oh, that's a wonderful question. You know, it is so kind of a broad subject. So I would recommend any trumpet player who's wishing to get into orchestral trumpet playing, listen to Phil Smith. He's the former principal trumpet of the New York Philharmonic, and just set the standard for that ability to articulate in this crisp, beautiful way, but yet sail over the orchestra without smacking you in the face with that sound, right? And that's something that I think is so important in trumpet playing. So listening is just profoundly important. Phil Smith, with the New York Philharmonic. He was there from the late 80s up until probably 2015, 2016. Mm-hmm. Any of those recordings are wonderful. For solo playing, you know, you mentioned Wynton Marsalis earlier, and he's one of those rare trumpet players who is equally masterful at jazz and classical.
Oh, I haven't heard his classical.
Oh, he has wonderful recordings. Yeah. Wow. The Haydn trumpet concerto, piccolo trumpet playing. He can kind of channel Maurice André on the piccolo, which is incredible. But then, you get him in a jazz at Lincoln Center, and you wouldn't know that this person could the night before be playing the Brandenburg Concerto over at Juilliard, you know, and that's amazing.
Right.
So to be able to kind of cross reference there. So,
yeah. Well, that's great. Two great recommendations. Yeah. Phil Smith.
Phil Smith.
And Wynton Marsalis. Wynton Marsalis maybe a little more famous, but, maybe not in the trumpet world that you're in.
Exactly,
Well, very good. Well, anything else you want to wrap up? Obviously, we should talk about when this is happening tomorrow and all that.
I want to say also a little bit about who else is on the program.
Oh, yes, I was going to ask this. I saw the pianist is listed as well. Sue
Kazama.
Yes.
Yeah,
she's
long
been
time,
wonderful to work with.
Yeah. Long time Juno pianist, very accomplished. And then we also have for you, you're going to be playing a quintet. Mm-hmm. So you'll be joined by Rick Trostel on trumpet and let's see, Taylor Young on French horn and Jared Lear on trombone and Alan Young on tuba. So
that, very cool.
That will close out the program.
It's all happening tomorrow at 2.
Tomorrow at 2 at the Alaska State Museum. It's pay as you can. And it's a wonderful space for brass music. It's absolutely wonderful. Wouldn't you say so?
We just did a dress rehearsal there this afternoon, and it was just wonderful.
It's really cool. Yeah.
Great space.
Yeah.
You mentioned pay as you can. How does the Conbrio, how do you maintain?
How do we make it all
How
happen?
Do you make it? I know Friends of the State Library are important as well.
But
tell
we
me.
Perform all over, not just at the, at the there. I mean, we definitely have a great relationship with the Friends. But I keep costs very low and, the audience is a gracious one and very generous and, I'm just filled with gratitude for them and their appreciation of chamber music. It's just, it can be overwhelming. It's wonderful.
Yeah, that's really cool.
How lovely.
Well, you bring so much
are.
To the community by doing this, Sally, for 10 years.
Yeah.
Incredible to think about that. It's gone quickly.
Yes, it has.
And Jeff, thank you so much. Jeff Carlson, Ketchikan, trumpet player, Captain Jeff Carlson also. I think you need to bring it on board, man. I think you need these passengers need to know what's going on.
Someday.
And more kelp playing. That sounds incredible as well. Thank you so much for coming in. Have a great concert tomorrow. It's 2 p.m. tomorrow at the Alaska State Museum. It's Jeff Carlson doing chamber music with Sue Kazama as well. And is it just you two playing? Or
For most of it. And then we're capping it off with a brass quintet.
With its quintet. Okay. Yeah. Who else is playing in the quintet?
Again, that's Taylor Young on French horn, Rick Trostel on trumpet, and Jared Lear on trombone, and Alan Young on tuba.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. I love a French horn.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's just something about
it. Who doesn't?
Right. They're just, okay. Yeah. I digress. Thank you so much to both of you
thank
for coming
you.
In.
A
really
pleasure.
Appreciate it. Great to meet you, Jeff.
Likewise.
And, have a great concert tomorrow.
Thanks so much.
Okay. Thanks.
Whenever this song, Skating, comes up from Vince Guaraldi, you know I'm going to be talking to ice skaters, hockey players, that kind of thing. And that's what's going on right now. We got hockey players and a hockey coach in the studio with us right now. It's Juneau Douglas Ice Association at Treadwell Arena. They're going to be hosting a state hockey tournament for 17 and 18-year-olds. It's happening March 6th through the 8th. And Rich Morris is here, the coach. How you doing, Rich? Thanks for coming in.
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks
and
for having
us. And you want to introduce your the players we got here?
Yeah, we've got Elias Shane. He's in the 18U. Tryson Heading, he's in the 16U. We brought him up to play in the tournament. And Drew Cadigan, or McAdoo Cadigan, he's also in the 16U. We brought him up to play with the 18U.
Very cool. Well, good to meet you all. Thanks for coming in. I appreciate it. I want to talk to these players first. So let's talk to these players. Number one, that was interesting. You're 16, but you were brought up. What's going on? You're amazing? You're an amazing player? Is that what's going on? I think so.
Yeah, I mean,
so what's your strength? What do you think your strength is? Skating? Your bruiser?
I'm definitely a faster player. Faster. I'm small, but I can fast, yeah.
So, like, you're just people's heads are spinning, man, right? You're just getting around.
I guess so, yeah.
That's cool. I mean, that's really great. Congratulations. That's a real accomplishment to kind of be brought up like that and be playing against older kids. So that's really cool. So are you guys all JDHS players? Yeah?
Yeah.
How did the season go?
It went pretty well. Yeah. I mean, I think we had a lot more expectations going into the state tournament, but we were able to finish fourth, which is pretty good. And I think we exceeded our expectations going into the beginning of the year.
That's an awesome way to look at it, man. You know, it's not all about wins and losses, right? It's not all just about the record. That's the amount of the season at the end. Like, what was your favorite moment of the season?
I think early in the season, we went up to Soldotna and Kenai, and we beat them all four games, and that was a pretty sweet moment for
us.
Yeah,
that's cool because, there's pretty solid players up there. Yeah. I mean, it seems like it's pretty, like, South Central, like, they're playing hockey all the time up there, man, right? I mean, it's pretty intense going up against those teams, I would think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we don't play the Anchorage schools, so they're Division I, we're Division II, so we play in our conference, we have Homer, Kodiak, Soldotna, Kenai, and Palmer. So the beginning of the year with that road trip, that really set us up for the season, winning those conference games, because those are what a lot of the seeding comes down to in the end. So that really helped us. But, yeah, we don't have to play any of those big boy schools, or we don't have to. Sometimes we'll go up and play a tournament, or, you know, we'll, like, swing by when we go up, for a trip, and we'll just stop in and play one of them. So,
was there a team? Was there sort of like teams you circled on the calendar? Was there like a team to beat in the state that's kind of well known in your conference?
Yeah, I would say Soldotna. Really wanted to beat them,
and you did.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, that's really cool. So, tell me about that game. Was that an intense, close game, or did you guys kind of take care of business early on? Or
that first game was really close. We won by one goal, I think we just came out going really hard, forechecking, putting pressure to the Soldotna players, and that seemed to work, and they couldn't really handle all the pressure we were putting on them.
That's great, right? So just kind of really for that game, at least feel like you just kind of outplayed them a little bit.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, that's great.
I mean, we won 1-0, and our goalie really
stood on his head.
Yeah, on his
right,
head.
Yeah.
It was his first game back in a couple years, actually, so it was good to have him back in.
5 years. It was 5 years.
It wasn't that long, was it?
It was 5 years that he was out.
Yeah, he was. He stopped playing before his freshman year and wanted to do more wrestling, and then we were able to get him back this year, and that helped us out a lot. And, yeah, it was our third game of the season, and it was a hard game. We won by one goal, and then the next game we were able to put four against him, and he got another shutout that game too.
Anytime you can have a shutout, I mean, that's incredible work by everyone, by the defense, by everyone. But, I mean, the goalie, of course, last man before the net. Yeah, so a lot goes on the goalie. Well, tell me a little bit about, and anyone can grab this, tell me a little bit about this tournament that's coming up. It's a 17, 18-year-olds tournament. Who all's playing in it? Do you know?
There's a team coming down from Kenai.
Okay.
And yeah, it's So it's two teams we just actually faced. It's two teams coming down that we just played a couple weeks ago in the President's Day tournament. There's the Junior Avalanche, which they're kind of a group of kids from the Palmer-Wasilla area. And then there's another team coming up from Kenai area, which also is kind of a group of kids from the different towns down there. So,
and do you grab in other kids that are not necessarily on the high school team, or is it just basically the –
So most of the kids – this is for the Juneau Douglas Ice Association.
Yeah.
All the kids that are playing with us are on the high school roster if they're in high school.
Yeah.
You know, these guys are juniors and seniors. They're all on the varsity team. They're the more skilled players. And this tournament's an A tournament, which it's higher level. We just had success against these teams a couple weeks ago, but their roster changed because some of their players were playing in Division I high school tournaments, so they weren't able to play last weekend, and they're going to be on the rosters this weekend. And same thing, we had a couple players that played for us a couple weeks ago that aren't able to play, and we're pulling up, like Elias was on a trip, and now he's back, and he's one of our blue line stalwarts there. So it's a challenge. You know, we're going to they're going to be tough games.
Yeah, but that makes it fun, right? I mean, that's the challenging games are the fun ones.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Tell me about – I just want to kind of go through what's – what are you kind of – I already asked you kind of what you specialize in. You say you're kind of speed.
Yeah.
If you were to describe your game, how would you describe your game? And maybe also, like, what kind of goals did you set out at the beginning of the year, and you think you kind of hit some stuff?
Yeah, so I think – I'm particularly good at having, like, awareness on the ice and having hockey IQ, just, like, predicting what's going to happen next and where I should be and what I should be expecting and, like, which people on the other team I should be marking. At the beginning of the season, one of my goals was to get faster. So at practice, I would work on skating a lot just to, like, build up my speed and strength, and I think that's helped me a lot throughout the season.
Cool. Are you a senior or junior?
I'm a senior this
year. Yeah. Do you have aspirations going out past high school?
Not really.
Yeah.
I'm kind of just going to see where I end up.
I mean, that's the thing. A lot of high school athletes, like, you know, obviously if you're great, you can get to play in college or go beyond. But also, like, the whole thing about high school athletics is, like, the fun it is, the camaraderie it is, and then you have this incredible skill that you take on forever. And hockey is such a great sport that way. There's so many associations and stuff that are really an amazing part of your – be an amazing part of your life for years.
Yeah, yeah. For sure. Some of my buddies are like, going to play on some club teams in college, and that's definitely, like, a possibility for me. I'll just see how it works out and where I end up in college next year.
Okay, very good. How about you? How would you categorize your game?
I'd say it's very pass orientated, and
you're playmaker.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I'm not one of the fastest. I can get up to speed, but it takes me a little while. And and I'd say I like to unload the anchor in front of the net and just kind of let some of the more skilled players on the team just do what they do. And, you know, I'll pick up the loose pucks and just bury them. And that's kind of how I get my goals, is just standing in front of the net and putting anything that comes in close. So.
You've been playing hockey your whole life?
Yeah, since I was like 4 or 5.
Yeah, yeah. Twin Lakes, all that kind of stuff, and pickup games. And
yeah, right? Pretty much.
Yeah, yeah.
Just getting out, skating whenever you can, stick handling in the house, whatnot.
Yeah. Right, right. That's cool. You got aspirations for as you go on? Are you a junior or a senior?
I'm a junior, yeah.
So I mean, play next year, of course. Right?
Yeah, of course I'm going to. But, I've always wanted to play hockey or any sport at the next level. So I'm definitely going to try that, and then we'll just see where that goes with that. So
yeah. I think hockey is one of those cool sports that can be a lifelong thing. There's lots of older guys playing hockey and community leagues and stuff like that. It's cool, right? You know, you must have. I mean, maybe your dads or your moms do.
Yeah,
is that right?
My dad played.
Yeah,
and it's like once you play hockey and you get on a team, it's like a family.
Right.
And you know them for forever after that, pretty much.
I'm friends with people that organize hockey tournaments and stuff. You know, adult hockey tournaments for JHA and. Yeah, it's such a great crowd of people that just hang out together and have a great time, and You know, they're not too concerned about who wins what game. It's just more like having a great time, staying a little bit in shape, you know, trying not to get hurt. Yeah, you have these different goals as you age. Oh, yeah. Well, Rich, do you want to tell us anything more about the tournament? I know everyone's invited to go see it, right?
Yeah, it's at Treadwell Arena. It starts next Friday morning. First game's at 8 o'clock, I believe. And that's between the two visiting teams, the Avalanche and the I can't even remember their names there.
Ice Hawks.
Thank you.
Ice Hawks.
So they started off, and then we are playing. Our first game is at 1:15 on Friday afternoon, and then we have another game that evening too. There'll be a schedule up at the rink. So we're gonna play. Each team's gonna play each other twice, and Sunday will be the championship game. The two teams that have the highest points go head to head to take home the
title.
That's
going to be you guys, right? I
mean, we hope so.
Yeah,
hope so.
I mean, we're counting on you.
We got a good crew here, so we got a few practices before then. We got some stuff to work on, but these guys, you know, they just finished up a great season with a high school. They came in back to JDIA, fired up, and they're just. Just kind of let them do their thing.
What would you guys say are the things that you want to work on as a team kind of heading into this tournament?
One main thing we need to work on, I'd say, is our breakaways. Or not breakaways, getting the puck out of the zone. Breakouts.
Okay. Breakouts, yeah, right. What's going on with that? You just think, like, it's just missing a step behind
just
there
anything,
or something?
Like, anything cleaner is always better, you know? Mm-hmm. It's good, but we can always make it better.
Yeah.
So it's a thing we can improve.
Yeah. How about you? What do you think?
Yeah, I would agree with that. Breakouts seem to be like a lifelong struggle for our team, and we're slowly getting better at that, but we always have more we can improve on. And, yeah, it's frustrating when you get stuck in the defensive zone just, like, turning over the puck again and again.
Right.
And that's what eventually leads to goals against our team.
Totally. It's danger. Yeah. What do you think's the strength of the team?
I'd say it's probably our speed. We have a lot of fast guys on this team, and I think what we've been doing, at least in the high school season, what our coaches preached was just kind of dump and chasing and get the legs going and outwork the other team. And I feel like that's been the identity of the high school team for a long time. And I think when we stick with that and we just work hard on keeping it in the zone, we really do our damage from there.
That's cool. That's good to kind of think about these different – hockey is such a cool, complex game, and there's so many elements of it, right? You can be great at eight things, and if you're not sufficient in two, you can have a losing season, right? I mean, like, if you're great at everything except for you're not good at, you know, breaking up power plays or something, like, oh, well, there you go. We can score on them in power plays.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's such a complex game that way. It's wild when you think, you know, I skated a little bit as a kid, and, you know, but I never really played hockey much other than just pickup game stuff. But to see the skill, it's really cool. Do you ever kind of think back about how much skill you guys have developed through the years? Like, it must be pretty satisfying.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah. Just to see, like, the kids that in our rink, or, like, the 8U kids, just, like, watch them and, like, think that you were there at one point.
Right.
It's pretty cool. Like, yeah. When you're out there coaching them. And then you just, like, think it's pretty cool that you've come this much and they're going to go that much too.
Do you guys get to coach?
Yeah.
You all get to coach?
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me about that. What do you work with kids? Just kind of like basic skill stuff, or do you kind of get to coach do you coach specific teams?
No, I mean, it's just like kind of volunteering.
Yeah, right.
Just for, like, the younger kids. We just do whatever, like, the younger coaches tell us to do, their head coaches.
Yeah.
We just run the drills that they tell us to. It's mainly getting their edge work good.
That's cool.
Have them skate around.
And it gives you ice time and time to kind of be out there. Yeah.
It's pretty cool to coach the younger kids, because I remember that when I was in 8U, I'd, like, look up to the high school players.
Totally. Yeah.
And that was very awesome. And so it's, like, cool to now be a high school player and know that they are looking up to us and that we're, like, role models.
Yeah, that's great. And it's important to be a good role models for kids, you know, like, show them all the hard work pays off, all the really great things that you now know, having gone through at least part of your high school career. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's great talking to you guys. I think you're going to have a great tournament. I kind of feel like, I mean, I'm going to go ahead and predict I think you guys are going to win this tournament. I can tell. I didn't talk to the other teams yet. Maybe they're equally impressive. I don't know. But it seems like you guys are really got it together. Really appreciate y'all coming in and telling us about it. And Rich, one more time, we're going to just go through the tournament for people who are just maybe tuning in.
So it's the 18UA state hockey tournament, rec league tournament. It starts Friday the 6th. First game's at 8 o'clock in the morning. There'll be a schedule there. Our first game, Juno's first game, will be at 1:15 Friday afternoon. And there's three games each day, Friday and Saturday. And then the championship will be Sunday morning at 8 o'clock.
All right. Have a great time out there. Stay healthy. No injuries. But bust some heads. No, bust some heads. But I'm sure you'll win. It'll be great. All right, man. Thanks to all of you for coming in. I really do appreciate you coming in and telling us all about it.
Thanks for having
us. All right,
thank
absolutely.
You.
Okay.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Tongass Federal Credit Union, a member-owned financial cooperative offering checking and savings accounts, loans, and digital financial services. In Juno at 8585 Old Dairy Road in the K Plaza and at tongassfcu.com, federally insured by NCUA. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Emil Mackey at Country Financial, offering insurance for home, auto, and business, and life insurance to protect your family in case of death. Located in the Juno Nugget Mall. More information can be found online or by calling 907-500-7017.
You're listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Andy Klein, and with us next are folks from Zach Gordon Youth Center. The Zach Gordon Youth Center manager, Jordan Nigro, is here. Jordan, thanks so much for coming in. Great
thanks,
to see you
Andy.
Again.
Great
yeah,
to see you, too.
I've seen you for a while. And Max Bluest is here as well. Is that? Do I have that?
Yeah, that's
yeah.
it. That's my name.
And youth development leader. Yes.
Yes. Yeah, I'm the supervisor of the center now, site supervisor there, and we do a lot of fun stuff at the center every week.
This is so cool because we just get to talk about all the different cool things you guys are up to. This is going to be fun to just talk about it because we all know what a great resource you are for the young people here in Juno and have been such an important part of people's lives as they grow up here. But you all always every year are thinking about cool, fun things to do. You've got, of course, spring break is coming up. That's one thing for people, I'm sure, top of mind maybe for people to think about what's happening for spring break.
It is, and we have a spring break camp. I did check the registration before coming over here. It's pretty much full, but I think there are a couple of spots on the wait list, and we always have – there's always some shuffle. So if you haven't signed up and you want to, you should.
Just what goes into the spring break camp? What are –
Well, let's see. They usually do an in-the-parks kind of camp. So we take advantage of a lot of the parks and rec programming and facilities. So they'll go to the rink, they'll go to the pool, they'll go to the beach, they'll do some things at Zach. What am I missing, Max?
Kids will do a lot of art projects.
Yeah, they do a lot of art projects. It's pretty fun. And it's all day. So it's like if your kids are used to being in school, it's the regular school day. So the idea is to help parents, you know, what do you do with your kids when spring break comes along if you have to work? So, and we have lots of scholarships available. So if, you know, the cost is prohibitive at all, just let us know.
Okay, that's one thing to think about is that spring break. Tell me about this Start Smart Baseball program. What is that all about?
Well, it's the really little kids playing baseball.
Is it like, is it so teed up on a little tee kind of one, or is it?
Yeah, I think they do all the things. So
these are the things I get hooked on watching TikTok videos of, right? These little kids.
Yes. Being just adorable and funny.
Being so cute.
Yeah, the registration for that is coming right up. It opens on March 9th at noon, and the dates for the activity are the 17th of April through the 19th of May. And it's at 5:30 on Tuesdays at the Fieldhouse. So if that is something you want to do, look for registration opening on the 9th of
March. What was the ages again for that?
The ages is like 3 and 4, I think.
Okay.
I can't remember if we do 5-year-olds and starts, but I think it's just 3 and 4.
If you describe your child as a tyke.
Yeah, little tiny ones. It's the little tiny ones. Yeah.
That sounds really fun. And then the other thing that caught my eye was acting classes.
Oh, yeah. You want to talk about that,
Max? Yeah, so we have a 3-week acting class starting. I think we have 7 participants registered for it, and it's going to be at the Zach Warren Youth Center, and it will be acting for film, which is getting kids ready for acting in front of a camera, getting used to doing dialogue, monologue, and getting comfortable being on screen, which is pretty exciting. It's going to be it's 2 times a week for 3 weeks. So
do you have like equipment set up that people act around and then you watch it or stuff like that?
Boston Christopher is teaching the class. And there is, it's my understanding that they are bringing equipment. This is a partnership with Theater Alaska.
Okay.
So
cool.
We're super excited about it. It's the first time we've done it. So we'll be, you know,
Boston
watching
is the real
seeing,
deal, by the
way. Yeah, I initially assumed Boston would be here, and I was like, we could just talk to Boston about his acting class. So we didn't really prepare to talk as much about the acting class.
Boston, he's sabotaged me again.
We really are excited to have Boston come teach it, because he is, I think he's going to be great.
He's the real deal.
It's going to be super fun for the kids.
He's been a film actor of renown, and of course, if anyone's ever seen him on stage, he's an incredible presence.
So good.
And so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's really, really cool. I wanted to just open up the conversation to talk about just Zach Gordon in general. What are some of the things happening there, developments? I also wanted to definitely mention the shelter program that you guys have, so we can talk about that as well. But tell me just sort of broad view. It always seems like there's so much happening at Zach Gordon. And do you get an opportunity to step out and think about the broad view? I'm sure it's part of what you think about.
I mean, I'm like, oh, can we do that? I think I probably, I really am happy to have Max, because I think he's like on the same, like, I'm constantly going, well, what else? Who can we bring in here? How can we do da 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 da? And some people I might drive a little crazy in that regard, but Max rolls with it pretty well. Yeah.
Yeah, we always have exciting things going on, and we're always being given new opportunities by the community to try new things. We've been partnering with SHI in the past year to go to the Indigenous Science Building and try out their podcasting studio there.
Which is so cool.
Yeah, it's really fun for kids. And sitting on a green screen stage and trying out what's it like to be in front of a green screen background, and what's it like to interview someone, what's it like to even be at a microphone and talk to someone, and what's it like to be on the other end and be with the soundboard and doing a flipper board and switching back between people. And it's been really exciting to just provide opportunities for those kids to try new things that they might not.
Yeah, that's an amazing program. Wow, that's very cool.
It's really
neat. Something that's continuing. It will be continuing, hopefully, or definitely will be continuing.
That's the plan.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, we also had a family donate almost an entire pottery studio to us about 2 years ago. So we have pottery set up now. We have a kiln which we fire at the ZAC, and it's a great way to get kids to try out ceramics.
So you kind of moved this, you moved the equipment from the studio into the ZAC, into the center?
Yeah.
It was a wow. Lot That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, the back workout area is smaller than it used to be,
okay.
But it's been so awesome. Like, it's super fun. And we really lucked out this year that our Jesuit volunteer is a potter. So she's been really helpful for, like, getting things rolling and helping us figure it all out. And
but you talk about a lifelong skill and enjoyment and hobby and thing that you can have to just develop.
Yeah.
Understanding how to do pottery, totally. Ceramic, that kind of stuff. Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, wow. It's been super fun. This is probably one of the rare times that I was like, really? Are you really? Max, you said yes? Oh my gosh, how are we going to do this?
I got a call and they said, do you want this kiln and this clay and the supplies? And I said, can I think about it? And they're like, well, we're just going to call the next person. Go down the list. And so we're like, all right, we'll be there in a few hours and pick it up.
Oh, really? So it was that quick of a decision had to be made. Oh, wow.
And then he told me.
We're in the pottery
business.
And I went,
oh, man.
And then I just had in my hands for the next months trying to get everything wired in and getting the.
Well, I was going to ask it. The power requirements and all kinds of stuff, right? Yeah.
But it's worked out great.
That's awesome.
I think it's been really fun for the staff and for the kids. And we've had volunteers come in and teach classes. We're going to do it. We're going to do a pottery camp this summer, right?
Yeah, there's going to be a whole week camp.
So, I think that pottery is such an interesting thing, too, because I think there's a whole group of people out there who can't, like, or not can't, but, like, aren't necessarily, like, they don't draw or they don't paint. And so it allows for this creative outlet in a way that's just very freeing, I would think. I've only done it a little bit, but it seems like you can sit down at clay and create and just do your own thing in a way that's different than, like, you know, you kind of judge yourself if you draw a horse and it doesn't look like a horse.
Right.
But, you know, you can play with clay and make it an interesting shape and be satisfied and kind of have
and
a creative outlet.
And the kids do some incredible hand-building projects. Yeah. Like, and it's also like, you know, just watching them do it, it's such a nice – the arts, any art, right, is just so good to watch people just get – sort of entrenched in what they're doing and just be working with their hands and using their body in these gentle ways and just the not even realizing that they're engaging in mindfulness without knowing it.
Yeah,
it's like really good thing for your whole nervous system. There's not a screen
not
in front
a screen,
of you.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's just, it's been really fun.
Is there a wheel involved with this too?
We do have a wheel.
Oh my goodness. That's the next level. So
the next level.
Do you use the wheel or?
A few kids have been working on using the wheel, but with supervision.
Yeah.
And since we just have the one, we aren't doing it as much as
totally,
we
can. Totally understandable. But very cool. A nice, interesting thing to think about as possibilities and structuring classes and things like that. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Well, any other I had no idea you had it killed. See, this is how you find these things out.
That's right.
So exciting. Well, we have a few minutes here. Let's talk about the shelter program.
Yeah. So we have at this point a small, I like to call it a little mini continuum of care for youth housing in Juneau. So we have a youth shelter, and that's for emergencies, for young people who have run away or are homeless. It's ages 10 through 17. And then we have a transitional living apartment that is attached to the shelter. That's for 18 through 20-year-olds. And we also, so that can be longer term. The young people can stay there for the average. I think we're finding our average is about 9 months.
Okay.
But they could stay there, you know, for a year and a half if they needed to. And then we also have a rapid rehousing program, which is for youth 18 to 24. And that is for young people in the community. And that's a partnership with Tlingit Haida Regional Housing Authority. And the rental assistance is a grant that they receive from HUD. And the rental assistance gets paid for up to 2 years. And we provide all the supportive services. And we help the young people find a place to live and all of that stuff. And it's working with private landlords in the community. So if you're listening and you were ever interested in housing a young person with guaranteed rent, who may need, you know, a little extra support from a landlord sometimes to learn how to be a good tenant. feel free to contact us because we're always looking for landlords that are interested in supporting young people.
That's really interesting because, you know, when you think about a shelter program, I just typically jump to, oh, you have a building.
Yeah.
And it's a shelter.
And that is what the shelter
and
is.
That's what
and then
that
we
is.
Also have rapid rehab. Like we just kind of have, so we have had some young people who have come into the shelter, stayed there for emergency, then transitioned into our transitional living apartment and transitioned out of transitional living into rapid rehousing and then went on to know how to pay their own rent, have job, you know. It's pretty
That's
great
pretty
when it really
cool
like works
yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, this is really great.
Well, there's lots of challenges along
hard.
The way. I mean,
yeah.
So you can understand where it might yeah. not work the first time
exactly.
through or whatever.
Yep.
But to have that as a resource mm-hmm. and to have that as an ability for people to not have to do the alternative,
yeah.
which is maybe be on the street or something.
Yep.
Yeah, right.
The other thing that we have now that we added last year is we have after-school programming in Douglas at Geneva Woods and Cedar Park. That's grant-funded through AHFC, Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. And it's free after-school programming for kids that live in those neighborhoods. And it's just, like, super great. It's been a really fun. And they do lots of field trips. Like, that group does
yeah,
the
group,
podcasting.
They're going there right now, I think, as we speak.
As
yeah.
we speak.
Yeah. Heading to podcasting. They've been going to ice skate on Thursdays. Treadwell Arena provides us with a 1-hour slot for an open skate for kids, which is very fun, and we do all the way through April. They also have a lot of great opportunities for meeting with other community partners. We take them to the libraries. Discovery Southeast has come and taken them on walks and gotten them out in nature. And when they're at the activity site, the program site, they're doing different activities with our youth development leaders there, from crafts to you know, making things in the kitchen and overall playing games and just having a nice time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, all this stuff happens because of the work that you guys are doing at Zach Gordon Youth Center. Is there, where's the spot online or whatever people can go find this?
I mean, cbjkids.org is our website.
Okay.
But it's really great to follow us on social media if you want, because that's really where we post all the stuff. And like if something new is happening, it'll be on our Facebook.
So just look for Zach Gordon
yep.
Youth Center somewhere on the social
Facebook
media feeds you like.
Facebook and Instagram.
Facebook and Insta.
Yep.
Jordan and Max, thanks so much for coming in, telling us all about what's going on right this second at Zach Gordon Youth Center. It's always different every time we check in. Always something
always
new happening.
Something new.
Always something.
Andy, can I give the phone number
sure.
for the shelter
yes.
really quick? I always just like to remind people that if you need to call the shelter, if someone you know needs to call the shelter, the phone number there is 907-364-7481. You can also text us at 907-209-6083.
Jordan and Max, thanks so much for coming in. That's the Zach Gordon Youth Center.
Thanks, Andy.
All
thanks
right.
for having us.
Thank you. And that's going to do it for Juno Afternoon, broadcast live on KTOO 104.3 FM, online at kto.org, rebroadcast on the station at 7 p.m. For more info on the show or to listen to past shows, you can go to kto.org/JunoAfternoon. Boston Christopher is our producer. Thanks, Boston, for letting me sit in today. Theme music is by India Agent. And I'm Andy Klein, your host for today. Thanks for joining us.